Alrighty, take your Bibles if you would this morning and go to Matthew chapter 9 to begin this morning. Today is Sunday, October the 24th, 2021. In a few minutes, we're going to read the prayer in Ephesians 1. We read it last week, and it's a prayer that talks a lot about power and authority. So we're going to read that in a few minutes. You know, my grandfather had the power to stop a train. He was a conductor on the Union Pacific Railroad passenger trains, and I don't know if it's still the same, but back then the conductor was in charge of the train, and he had the authority to say it's not moving if the need arose. He was the one in charge, had the authority. And obviously he didn't have the physical authority to stop a train, but he had that authority. It's kind of like air traffic controllers. They have authority they can move a plane. One that's going this way, they can say, no, you need to go this way. No, go to this runway. This morning we're going to take a brief look at power and authority. And there are a number of words that come up, but to keep it simple, two of them that will come up a number of times this morning, Greek words. One of them is dunamis in the Greek, and that means potential power. If I had a handful of dynamite, you know, four or five sticks of dynamite in my hand, that's dunamis, that's potential power. The other word we're going to see come up a lot that I really want to focus on is the word exousia, and that means literally authority. The authority to exercise that power. So if I light the dynamite, now that's exousia. I'm having the authority to exercise that power. So before we get to that prayer in Ephesians, let's just look a little bit at some of these words, and they come up in, we'll start in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he, Jesus Christ, entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven you. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think you evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? What do you think's easier to say? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, authority. That's that exousia. The Son of Man has exousia on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up your bed, go unto your house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such exousia, authority, unto men. Where did Jesus Christ get this authority? Well, look at Matthew 28. He was given this authority. Matthew 28 is Jesus Christ speaking in his resurrected body. And in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All exousia, authority, the authority to exercise power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go back to Matthew chapter 8. So Jesus Christ had power, potential power, and he also had the authority to operate that power. In Matthew chapter 8, you're probably familiar with this, the record of the centurion. We'll start in verse 5. When Jesus was entered, we're in Matthew 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. All you need to do is speak it, You don't even need to come. You don't need to lay hands. Just say it, and it'll be done. This centurion recognized that Jesus Christ had power and authority to bring healing to pass. And the centurion answered in verse 8 and said, "Look, verse 9, for I am a man under exousia." I understand what authority is all about. "Having soldiers under me, I say to this man, go, and he goes. Another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." I understand what authority is all about. "When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee." His servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The centurion understood what authority was. So now look at Matthew chapter 10. Now it starts getting interesting. We can read in the Gospels where Jesus Christ had power, dunamis, potential power, and he exercised that power, exousia. He had the authority to exercise that power. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them exousia, authority, against or over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." You can read the same thing in Mark chapter 3. Take a look at Luke 9. Jesus Christ gave the 12 the authority to operate spiritual power. So they obviously had dunamis, potential power, that he gave them, and they had the authority to bring it to pass. We see this again in Luke chapter 9, but watch this in verse 1. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them," he gave them, it says power, that's dunamis, potential power, "and authority," exousia. They had the power and they had the authority to use it over all devils and to cure diseases. If you have a car with a 425 horsepower, I don't even know if they make those anymore. I don't know anything about cars, but I know that's a pretty big engine. Mm-hmm. But if you had one of those, as it just sits there, that's dunamis. It's not doing anything, right? That's potential power. But if someone gives you the title and the keys, now you have the authority to operate that power, to get in and rev it up. Look at Luke 10. So the 12, he gave them dunamis and exousia. He gave them potential power and the authority to operate it. In Luke chapter 10, look at this. "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And therefore he said to him, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Boy, we can pray that prayer today, don't we? I mean, we certainly can, right? We pray for outreach. We pray for the word of God to move. We pray for laborers to get out into the harvest. It's plenteous. The laborers are few. Now, we'll skip down to verse 17, when they got back these 70. Verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Because he had given them potential power and the authority to use it. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power, exousia, the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. And I give you this exousia, and over all the potential power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Isn't that fantastic? Jesus Christ gave them the potential power, the dunamis, and the authority, the exousia, to operate. Their authority was in his name. And it was authority over the potential power of the enemy. So, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1 with that brief look at some of the places where exousia and dunamis happen. You know, if you're curious, you can look in the book of Acts three times where it talks about when Paul went to Damascus to arrest the believers. Three times in the scriptures it says that he had authority. He had exousia from the chief priest to go and arrest people. He had the authority to do. I mean, if you're speeding, a cop may pull you over and give you a ticket. He has the authority to do that. If you see someone speeding, you can't, you know, wait till they come to a stoplight and then walk over and go, I'm going to give you a ticket. You have no authority. But, you know, police do, right? They have the authority backed up by the law. So we're going to read here Ephesians, this prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like to read the prayer to you, and then we'll talk about some things. But I want to look at verse 17, which is where the prayer starts. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, and it says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is better understood as that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you revealed wisdom in the knowledge of him. The eyes, verse 18, of your understanding being enlightened. God wants our eyes open to see. Why? That you may know. God wants us to know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he also wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his dunamis, potential power, to usward, who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or energized in Christ. This great, exceeding greatness of his power, his mighty power, he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and authority and dunamis, potential power, and dominion, and every name that's named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. What a prayer. Now let's talk a little bit about this. Verse 21, go back there. Jesus Christ was set at God's own right hand, and it says in verse 21, far above, not just above, but he is far above all principalities. That's a word that means positions of power. You could say rulers. Jesus Christ is far above all rulers, and he is far above all exousia, authority, and he is far above all might, potential power, dunamis, and he's far above all dominion. That means lordships. And he's also far above every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Isn't that amazing? What a position. Yeah. That keep you humble? It's just beautiful. Now, then it goes on in verse 22 and says, God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. All things are under his feet. All things, every name, all lordships, all potential power, all authority, all rulers, all of that's under his feet. Jesus Christ's authority to be the head of the church came from God. We just read that. God gave him to be the head of all things to the church. The church is his what? body. Y'all see that? Let's read it. Verse 22. The head over all things to the church, which is his body. See that in verse 23? Okay. Because, you know, it doesn't say that God gave Jesus Christ to be the vine to the church, which are his branches. It doesn't say that, right? But remember in the Gospels, Jesus Christ said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me. That was a beautiful analogy. But it doesn't say that here in Ephesians. It also doesn't say that God gave him to be the chief shepherd to the church, which is his flock. It doesn't say that, right? But in 1 Peter, it says that Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And Jesus told Peter one time, feed my sheep. Beautiful analogy, right? It's gorgeous where it is in 1 Peter and in the Gospels. But here in Ephesians, when we're talking about the exceeding greatness of God's power to usward who believe, God is telling us that Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. This is just amazing. This is so big. You know, as I was reviewing this a number of times this week, it was like every time I looked at it, it was like getting bigger and bigger. And if you take the time and read the whole chapter one of Ephesians, pretty soon it gets so big that you almost need a whole page for each verse. Mm-hmm. And then it gets so big that the page doesn't, it's just huge what we're reading here. And it's been so overlooked, so underrated, so pushed aside. It's amazing. Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, seated at God's own right hand, far above all those things that we read, and God is referring to the church, the born-again ones, as the body, and Jesus Christ as the head of the body. 1 Corinthians uses this analogy, you know, where it's talking about the one body. In 1 Corinthians 12, the hand can't say to the foot, you know, it's using different parts of the body, right? So who is the head of the church? Jesus Christ. Are we all in agreement?
Yes.
Everybody say yes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Who is the body?
We are.
Yeah, we are his body. He's the head. We are his body. And all things, including every name, all lordships, all potential power, all authority, all rulers, all of that is under his feet. His feet. His feet are part of his body, right? We are the body of Christ. To see this a little bigger, look at verse 19, back at verse 19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of God's dunamis, potential power? God's power exceeds greatness. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. In the Old Testament, you can read there were people who were raised from the dead. They were dead and they were raised from the dead. In the Gospels and in the New Testament, people were dead and they were raised back to life from the dead by the power of God. And since then, there have been people by the power of God who have been literally raised from the dead. However, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is totally unique. All the others that we can read about in the scriptures or that we've heard about, they have either all died or they will die again. In his resurrected body, death no longer has any dominion over Jesus Christ. He lives. He's still alive after 2,000 years. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest display of God's power to a human being ever. What kind of power is that? Well, it's the exceeding greatness of God's power. And the ramifications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to all other human beings continues to this day, because it is in believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead that is part of getting born again of receiving eternal life and receiving God's gift of Holy Spirit, which we'll see and which you know is power. Verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? You see, in verse 19, one of the things God wants us to know in this prayer is the exceeding greatness of his power when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That potential power is to usward who believe, according to the working of God's mighty power. The power that we have as a result of the new birth, getting born again and receiving God's Spirit in us, that power has been overlooked, underrated, and ignored. You know, there's a lot of things in churches that are wonderful. You know, we've got a choir that's just fantastic, and then we have certain holy days that we make a big deal about, and there's all kinds of stuff. The exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. What's the point of having Holy Spirit? The Bible says it's dunamis, potential power. You know, if it's like, yep, that's great. Praise the Lord. If we don't do anything about it. Jesus Christ is the head of all born-again ones. He's the head, and we're the body. I know, I'm repeating that, but you know what? It's something we got to just drill into our heads. He's the head, we're the body, right? Even if you are the little tiny toe on the body of Christ, all things, including every name, all lordships, all potential power, all exousia, all authority, all rulers, all of that is still under whose feet? Christ's feet. And he's the head, and we are what?
The body.
The body. We are the body of Christ. This is so huge. Where is all that stuff that we just read about here in verse 21? Well, it says it's under Christ's feet. All things are under his feet. We are the body. Doesn't that mean it's all under us as well? Where is Jesus Christ? Verse 20. It says he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So where is Jesus Christ? He is at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Well, where are we? Well, we're in Dave and Sonia's house. Well, yes, we are. But let's read, continuing in the context, chapter 2. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. And the reason it says dead in sins, because we had no spirit life. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. Well, where is Christ? At the right hand of the Father. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And look, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is just remarkable. We read in chapter 1 that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and he's seated in the heavenlies at the right hand of God. Here we're reading about us. Where are we? The born again ones. We are raised up and seated in the heavenlies. And verse 5, look at this. With Christ. We are with him. The body is seated with him in the heavenlies at God's right hand. We might not be there physically, but from God's point of view, that's where we are. Far above all principality, powers, mights, dominion. We are with Christ. Seated with him. This is amazing. Verse 6 again. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are not a headless body running around here on earth. We know we're the body, right? Because it says the church is, we're the body. We're not a headless body running around. And Jesus Christ is not a head without a body sitting up next to the right hand of the Father. In order to have a functioning body, you need to have two very important parts. A head and a body. If you have a body with no head, nothing's going to happen. Right? If you have a head with no body, nothing's going to happen. Christ is seated in the heavenlies, and we are seated with him. That's what we just read in the scriptures. Christ is at the right hand, and so are we. That's why God used this analogy of a body. The born-again ones, the church. We are the body, complete with the head. The church is Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians. Back up a bit. 1 Corinthians 12. Look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 12. And this is an easy one to remember. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. If you ever want to go back and look at it again. What was that verse in 12, 12? Look at this. For as the body is what?
One.
It's one body. From God's point of view, there are no denominations. There really aren't. I know some people are Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Anglicans, Catholics. Fine. They call themselves that. But every born-again believer is part of the one body. There is one body, and for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so is Christ. That's the body. Christ is the head. The members are the body. So the question is, do we have any power and do we have any authority? What do the scriptures say? Colossians chapter 1. And it's interesting. I thought about this morning. I was like, huh, that makes sense. This verse we're going to read in Colossians, It's Colossians is part of the Ephesians section. So you have Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Doctrine, reproof, correction. Correction gets you back to the right doctrine. And look what verse 13 says. Who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's what the folks in Colossae needed to hear. Well, sure, if we are the body and all things are under his feet, all authority, all power, all that, well, no wonder it says we're delivered from the authority of darkness. That's good to remember, right? Because all authority is under Christ's feet. God has given us dunamis. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. You are complete. That means we're not lacking anything. You are complete in him who is the head of all rulers and authority. We are complete in him. In 1 John 4:4, you don't need to turn there. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We are above that authority. We're in Colossians. Look at chapter 1 verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in us. That's just another way of, you know, Christ in you means the Spirit of God that's in us. It's another way of describing what we have in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Where is Christ? Seated at the right hand, above all the authority. We are part of his body. You see how this fits together? I hope. And of course, I'm sure you've thought of 2 Timothy, which says it so clearly. 2 Timothy Verse 7, 2 Timothy 1, 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of dunamis. God has given us a spirit that is potential power. Not to stop a train, reroute an airplane, issue a speeding citation. It is spiritual power. Potential power. Like Jesus Christ gave to the 12, and then they exercised that power. Like he gave to the 70, and they exercised that power. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Back in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. It's another way of God telling us what this great gift of Holy Spirit we have. In Ephesians 1, 13, it says, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. People have to hear it. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that, you believed. Right? People hear the word, then they decide if they want to believe it. And when that happened, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And it's the earnest, it's the token. The spirit we have is the earnest, the token. It's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. The gift of Holy Spirit is potential power. Here it's called the down payment until we get to the gathering together. That's the dunamis. We read in Colossians that we are, I think we read that verse, we are complete in him. Right? Over in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. No wonder we're complete. We're not lacking anything. And we're blessed with all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places in Christ. Yeah, where are we seated? With him. At the right hand in heavenly places. This is so big. This is just so big. We are the body of Christ, and all those things that are under his feet are under our feet too, because we're part of the body. We have dunamis, potential power. I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. Don't need to turn there. If you want to make note of them, you can. Romans 15, 13. It says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the dunamis, the potential power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the dunamis, potential power, may be of God and not of us. And Ephesians 3, 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the dunamis, potential power, that what? Works in us. So back to Ephesians 1, 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. We all received potential power when we got born again. The Spirit of God is in you. Do we have the authority to exercise this power that God has given us?
Yes.
I would say yes. Did Jesus send the 12 and 70 out with power and no authority? You got power, but you can't use any. Go on out and have a good time. That'd be stupid. Would God give us power and no authority to use it? No. Would you buy someone a brand new car and say, I bought you a brand new car. I'm not going to give you the keys or the title, but there it is. They'd say, are you insane? What good is it going to do me? I can sit there and look at it. Jesus Christ had the authority to exercise the power of God. In Acts chapter 10, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with dunamis, with power, and the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And you know what else Jesus Christ, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. How did he do the works? He did the works because he had the potential power and the authority to exercise that power, the Spirit of God. So, we're going to close in 1 Corinthians 12. This is just really so big, isn't it? It's huge. And it's something really that the church needs to talk about, teach about. We have the dunamis, potential power, and we have the authority because Jesus Christ said we could do the works that he did. And God's word says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And not only that, we're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And all that authority is under his feet. We are his body. So we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every woman, every person to profit. When we got born again, we received the Spirit of God. And the manifestations, all of them, are given to everyone to profit. For to one prophet is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another workings of miracles, another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Those are the nine manifestations of the Spirit. But all of these, all nine, worketh or are energized, that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every one severally as he will. Severally is better translated as one's own. From the Working Translation, verse 7, verse 11 from the Working Translation. The one and the same Spirit energizes all these manifestations, distributing to each person individually, even as he wills. Meaning every born-again believer has the Spirit of God, the potential dunamis to energize, exousia, operate, manifest all nine. Every single one of them. We have the potential power and the authority to use it. Now, silly illustration before we close. Suppose you went to work at a place and someone said, yeah, in that room back there, there is a computer that any of us can use. You know, if you need to check your emails, if you need to go check on an order or whatever, it's anybody's computer. Whenever you want to use it, you can go ahead and use it. If they forgot to tell you that, and you had no idea that back in that room was a computer that you could use, would you ever use it?
No.
No, of course not. And then what if someone came up to you and said, hey, by the way, there's a computer back there you can use whenever you want to. And you went, yeah, right. Like they're just going to have a computer. I could just go check my email. And you just didn't believe them, right? Would you ever use it?
No.
I don't want to get fired. What if someone told you there's a computer back there that you can use whenever you want to, but you were computer illiterate? You don't know, even know what a key is. I remember when I first learned about computers, I asked my son, what's double space? I mean, double click. I said, what's double click? Oh, you click it twice. Oh, okay. But what if you were completely computer illiterate? Would you ever use that computer? No, not. The same is true with the gift of Holy Spirit that we all received. If someone doesn't even know they have potential spiritual power, they don't even know it, will they ever use it? No. If they don't believe they have the authority to operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit, will they ever do it? No. They don't believe they have the ability to do it. If they don't know how it operates, will they ever operate it? No. If they don't know it exists, if they don't believe it exists, if they don't know how, they'll never operate it. And it isn't that a loss for a born-again one? Especially what we've read here in Ephesians where it said God wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So no wonder we are concerned about rightly understanding the scriptures, rightly understanding them, so we can learn more about the Spirit of God, the manifestations of Holy Spirit, right? God's desire in that prayer in Ephesians was that we would know the power that we have. And so, he obviously wants us to utilize it. He gave that power. Jesus Christ gave that power and authority to the 12. They used it. Gave it to the 70. They used it. We see him use it in the book of Acts. So perhaps as we put more of our attention into believing that we really have that power. And you all remember the story of Dr. Wirral wanted to manifest Holy Spirit. Knew it was available, but just couldn't get anyone to help him. And he was in, what was it, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Went to this big revival meeting or whatever. They took him in the back room because he wanted to manifest Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. And they said, okay, speak another language. And he knew some Greek, and he spoke Greek, and they went, that's great, you did it, you spoke in tongues. Speak another language. He spoke some Hebrew words. They said, that's great, you did it. And he said, it's a damn lie. And he walked out. Because he knew that wasn't it. He knew that language. And he was going to leave, and that's when God sent that man, J.E. Styles, sent and said, God told me to find you and lead you into the manifestation. So you can know something's available, but you know, to be led into and given instruction from scriptures that we can manifest the power of God. How exciting. And how underrated, overlooked, and ignored it is in the church. And thank God that we have, you know, some information, and we can continue to grow in our knowledge of God's word, believing it, and then just walking out on it. Going, yep, I have the power and the authority. And if we slip and fall, okay, so what? If we don't know what double click is, somebody will help us. If we get in the car and have no idea, what is a clutch? I didn't even know they made these anymore. You know, most cars are, you know, automatic. But we can get others to help us to grow in our understanding of God's word. So that's a little bit about God's power. Father, thank you for your great, awesome, mighty power that you energize by raising Jesus Christ from the dead to die no more. Father, it's just so awesome and humbling for us to think that we are seated with him in the heavenlies. And may we believe what your word says, that we do have the power and the authority to operate this wonderful gift of Holy Spirit, that we could walk with you and bring deliverance to people. Thank you for the joy and privilege it is to be a part of the one body. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning with your wonderful people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen.